So once again, it's nice to see everyone here. I haven't seen a number of you for some time, so this is good. Jatidas will be here, but he's a little late. He is coming, though, so we will have a full house. Shiva Sundari is working. She works every other Sunday, so she can't be here this week. We're going to do something a little different. Usually, of late, we've been having people, they come, and we've just sit and done meditation. But since we have new people here, I thought we'd speak a little bit more about this path and what is the objective of it. This is the path of jnana, direct experience. We also pull in this path meditation, which is what uncovers this jnana or this internal knowledge. This is not a path where you're given books and told to go home and study and learn it by rote, because when it comes to spiritual path, if you're doing that, it's just hearsay. You're learning what somebody else knows in their heart and what's real for them, but that doesn't do you much good until it becomes real for you. So within this path, we give you tools to move forward. This is a path of relaxation, coming to stillness, coming to centeredness, stepping back and witnessing, confronting that which is an illusion, confronting that which you've taken to be truth, which you run your life around, which is not liberating, but which is binding you in some manner. If it's binding you in some manner, then it's not truth. It's that simple, cut, dried, clear. So many times when we're young, we're told so many things, and we run our life around them, either trying to prove them wrong, or just saying, that's it, and giving up, and this is the way it is. If a young girl is told you're ugly when you're young, it doesn't matter if they grow up to be a raving beauty. They will still carry the seed of thinking that they are ugly and doing whatever they can to prove it either wrong or just once again getting stuck in this dynamic of it doesn't matter what happens, they will have this seed in there that's planted that somehow they're flawed. So this is the path of uncovering these types of things that we are bound by and confronting them and going to the heart of it and see that it's really not true at all. It was something that we've adopted and accepted in our lives. This is also the path of coming to the point of being able to see what is God directly. If you pull so many layers away, all the me, the I, and this is what runs our lives, I want, I need, I desire, I don't want, either we're trying to grasp and hang on to it in a desire, or we're trying to push it away as an aversion. This was what keeps us on these ups and down roller coasters throughout life. So we want to come to a point of stillness. We want to come to a point of absolute centeredness. That it doesn't matter what comes, what goes, because everything in this world is transient. It's going to come and go. You can't hold on to anything here. And if you try, then when it goes, you're going to once again go into another dive. Drowning. So So in this path, we give you tools to go beyond that, to reach a sense of steadiness, a sense of stillness within yourself. And then it doesn't matter what comes around you. You become like a hurricane. The eye is still, and action takes the place around you. That stillness holds this action in place, but it's not disturbed by it. This is the state of the realized being. They're like a hurricane. Things happen around us all the time, but we're not the doers of it. We just sit and witness it and go, okay. So this is possible. This path, besides meditation, we develop bhakti, which is opening the heart, which is surrender, to realize the universe has the best at heart for us if we open to it and allow grace to happen. In order for grace to manifest, one has to allow it to manifest and get themselves out of the way as the doer. Once we begin to surrender to that, then grace moves forward. And we find things happening in our lives and just taking care of circumstances in the correct timing. So. The other part of this path is karma yoga. Karma yoga is when we are putting action in place, but we're not looking for the payoff at the end. We're not doing it for that payoff of money or that payoff of whatever. We're putting that action in place as seva, as what we're doing for society, what we're doing for God out of love. So karma yoga is also very important. If you take all of these things together, every moment of your life can be a part of your spiritual sadhana. Sadhana is a spiritual practice. It doesn't mean that you have to just make time for a ritual every day. With this, we don't have really any rituals. Although you see I have an altar here, not everyone has to have an altar. It's not part of it. It's individual choice. If you want to have an altar, you can have an altar, set it up however you want, something that's meaningful to you. What you do get on this path is I do give you certain mantras because they help to break through different layers of consciousness. They help to move you along. They give you a point of reference along with the relaxed breathing and the meditation. All of these are to give you a point of reference, a point of stillness, a point of solidity in your life that you keep coming back to. So basically, this is what this path is about. It's about stepping out of where we were, the bondages, and reaching liberation. Liberation to be in this world and enjoying it as lila, or the play of God, rather than maya, the illusion and the suffering. A lot of people think that liberation is getting out of the world. I also used to think liberation was getting out of the world. Until you reach liberation, and then you find out what is there to be liberated from. If you're liberated, why do you need to go anywhere? So your consciousness changes at that point. Once you see that it can be lila instead of maya, that it can be the play of God and everything is the fragrance of God, then you begin to appreciate this world for what it brings. Because stepping into absolute, where you are not, nor have you ever been, and simply absolute is, in that moment you know everything contains that seed of absolute to have existence. There is nothing separate from absolute, or it would have no existence. Even though we say me, my, I, when you get to the absolute core, which is this pregnant void, this absolute potentiality, you see that it's like a seed state. It's perfect, it's whole as it is. Ever present. But the fragrance is in Shakti, in movement, in the manifest world. That's the fragrance, the bloom of it. You can have a seed where everything comes from, but until it's planted in the ground and it grows, there's no fragrance. So you come back into this world and then you learn to appreciate what's here. So you go full circle. But where you come back to is vastly, vastly different from where you started. Because you start out in suffering, depression, and where you come back to is the play of God. And it doesn't mean that at that point you don't have emotions, you don't have, you know, the ups and downs of life. Of course, life is going to be the same. You're still going to get flat tires, you're still going to have bills, you're still going to have, you know, all of these things to come. But now you know they're transient. These things are transient. It's not the end of the world. It's another drama, another play of the moment. It's going to change. But what we are is unchanging. That eternal essence is always pure, untouched by any of the drama that happens here. You know that equally as well. When you reach that point, in the midst of sound, you still hear silence. In the midst of action, there's inaction. You reach this point, what I call zero-point balance, where it's not either or any longer. You're equally aware of the sound and the silence at the same time, and it's one. You're equally aware of the action and inaction at the same time, and it's one. You're equally aware of the still center within and the action that's taking place on the outside, whatever it is, and it's one. At that point, you become like this stilled lake. When an action takes place, you drop a pebble into the lake, and what happens? The rings move out from that across the still water, and in a few moments, it's gone, and it's still again. You become a living yantra, that still bindu point where action takes place from. But that bindu point, even in the midst of action, is still there. It's still still. This is the state of the realized being. This is what you're working towards. I never tell people this path is easy. You have a lot of discharging that happens. You can be having wonderful meditations, wonderful experience, be very still, and all of a sudden something's going to trigger, and you don't know, out of the blue is coming anger, out of the blue is coming some sort of an emotional upheaval. And when this is happening, this is called a discharge. You're discharging and get a chance to just sit and look at this drama that's coming up, and then to begin to question it and cut it at its roots. This is why it takes having a guru, why it takes having a teacher, a mentor, to get you through those points. Hopefully when you start discharging, you don't wrap it up something to do with the guru. That does happen one occasion. And then people run, take off for a while, and then they come back usually. But yeah. Or you don't, when something discharging happens, You have to understand what is this discharging, and don't wrap it up with a current event and then color that. Because part of this path is discharging. When you start, just like meditation, when you start meditating and you start to become aware of your thoughts and you start to look at these things, you'll appear to have more thoughts. You go, why am I meditating when it appears that I'm having more thoughts or more emotions are coming up? But anytime you stir waters, what happened? The mud gets stirred first, and that's got to be cleared out. You become aware of the thoughts. You become more aware of what's going on within you. It can be quite shocking when you start to become aware and really watch the thoughts, just how much garbage that has nothing to do with anything that's happening in the moment is going on. And why we're expending so much energy on that. We expend a lot of energy during the day in useless thoughts and useless things that we chase that link one thing to another. We start out here and we wind up way over in left field somewhere, thinking about something and going off on some drama that has nothing to do with what's happening in the moment. So we get keys, and I give you techniques to keep bringing your mind back to now, rather than chasing all of these dramas. Give you keys to go into relaxation so that people that have a lot of anxiety problems are able to once again center and still give them tools to get through that. So this path is very good for one's psyche as well. So this is about breaking through all of the bondage, all of the suffering we've carried for so many lifetimes, to confront it finally and say enough is enough, to let go of it. Surrender is not an easy thing. This is a path of surrender. People get very scared when you say you have to surrender to Guru. But when we say surrender to Guru, we mean surrender to that truth, which is always, always unchanging, to that. Doesn't mean that the Guru is going to run your personal life. This is not a Koresh situation, okay? You're not moving in tomorrow. In fact, when people ask me about their personal lives, I tell them, don't ask me, because you're the one that has to live with the consequences of your actions and your decisions, not me. And every decision you make opens another number of doorways for you to go through, and it's your life. I've lived my life. Okay, this is your life. So what I'm here is to give you guidelines and tools of one, meditation, mantra, focus, and help give you insights about things that are going on that perhaps you're a little too close in your own life to see. Now, whether you act on it or not is another story, but if I see something, I'll let you know. So that being said, I think we'll go ahead and ask if there are any questions at this point. I just wanted to touch base a little bit about what this path is, since there are some people here that are kind of new and really haven't heard a lot about what it is. A lot of people are confused. This is the path for those that are really serious about breaking through their stuff in this lifetime and that are willing to put a lot of dedicated effort into it. Yeah, how to handle the fear, and you hear other people's stories and make a big drama around that in your mind. Yeah. This is when I say you go back into the relaxed breathing. And tell your mind, stop, that in this moment you're fine, and it's someone else's story. Bring yourself back to center. Don't allow the mind to run away with you. When you see that it's starting to create a scenario, you say, stop. In this moment, the only thing that's happening is I'm sitting here and we're listening to satsang, and that's all. Or whatever the action is at the time that you're doing. And don't allow the mind to run away. Don't chase it. Because once you gravitate to some thought and start chasing it, it's going to create more of the same. So nip it in the bud. But fear is one thing that does come up on this path a lot. Fear of surrender, fear of death, fear of extinction, fear of loss of control. A lot of fears come up on this path. And the way to deal with them is just to finally come up with enough either courage, or you're just so exhausted that you can't run away from it anymore, and you sit there and go, okay. And you sit with it, and it comes. And if you sit through it, then you find out that it was unfounded, and it really has no hold on you other than what you've given it, other than what you allow it to have. The last great fear is that fear of extinction, that fear of death. And we have to want truth more than we fear. That was my last moment before transcendence. Up to that point, it was difficult. The whole path was difficult. But the last moment came with that fear of extinction, or fear you're going to be possessed, or fear of, you know, if you take one more step, that's it. How much do you want truth? At that moment, internally, I said, on the altar of truth, I lay myself, and that's it, God. I can't do any more. I've done everything I can do, and I totally surrendered in that point. And the great fear washed over, and the next second I wasn't there. The world wasn't there, and nothing was there but God or the Absolute. And that was the last fear that was transcended. I saw that it was a vast illusion, that it had no substance whatsoever, that there is no death. The physical form is not what we are, it's a vehicle. That's all. There was no death. And then you laugh. Come out of it and you laugh. All these fears and all these things that you've run away from and has ruled your life for so long, you find out had no substance. They were shadows, like the boogeyman under the bed. When you're a child, you're so convinced is there. And what was there? Something you created and sustained in your mind that ran your emotions, that you cowered from. But if you got up out of the bed and you looked under the bed and you get enough bravery to look in the closet, you find out that there was nothing there. And then you can laugh at yourself and say, but we come to that point, like I said, either through surrender, wanting it more than we want the fear, or just being so absolutely exhausted that we can't push grace away any longer. Are you delusional? Because there are a lot of fears. It's not a fear of death. Usually people have fear of loss of control or something they can't control or something maybe this might happen or they just don't even know why. There's just an overwhelming fear. It doesn't mean that you're delusional as in the sense of somebody that's totally lost their mind is delusional. Huh? But it just means it's coming out of fear. It comes out of ignorance. We just don't know. We just don't know. So once again, this is that fear of not being able to be in control, fear of somebody's going to hurt you. We've been through so much trauma in our life. I'm afraid to surrender. I'm afraid to, you know. Yeah. You come to a point where I said it, and actually all the trauma, I went through a lot of trauma in my life. And the trauma was actually the starting point. The point that set me free was looking at the trauma and seeing what was holding it in place. The trauma, yes, it happened. It was an event. Well, it was more than one event. It was many events. Many events. Huh? But the one that was holding it in place after the event was what? Myself. So we begin to look at that. And then we can begin to say, really, what was touched? Really, what was touched? Mm-hmm. Now it's Leela. At that point, it wasn't Leela. At that point, yeah, it was suffering. There was great suffering at that point. Very, very much depression. Very much depression, very much going back and reliving events, being thrown back into that trauma, reliving events, going through it as if it was happening again and again and again and again and again. But actually, those trauma and those events can be a starting point. They can be a left-handed blessing in disguise. Could be why you're here. Yeah. Because a lot of times, you know, we build up this big scenario in our mind that really has very little to do with the reality of what it is. But we've concocted such a big story that eventually we have to stop and really look at it point blank, and we find out that it's not this big overblown thing that we've made it out to be. It's really much less. Yeah. But that takes a point of courage to stop and then be willing to look at it point blank and then question it honestly without the colorization. This takes a coming to some sort of a little bit of stillness, some sort of a little buffer where you can witness, where you're not caught up so much in the drama of it, where you can step back. So this is why I give the tools that I do, to help bring you to that point where you can finally stop and confront it head on and look at it and find out it's not the big boogeyman that you thought. And we're able to then let go of that and move forward and release. Yeah. So it's a good thing. It's better than therapy, honey. you can be in therapy forever, but you know, the mental health profession needs to change. It needs to change the way they work with people. Yeah. So yeah, no, this path is possible to help to let go of all those past traumas, those past fears that are once again running the whole of your life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's run the life for so long. And it's what you're used to. And it's like sometimes if I let go of that, then what? This I know. And even though we don't like pain, it's familiar. So we just keep in the same ruts. You know, we don't know really how to step out of it. So this is also what Guru is here to help facilitate the stepping out of these things that we've been involved in, the same patterns. Because they're not matching with what's the reality of life. There's no reason for this. Yeah, you see it. And why is my mind running away like this? Really, there's nothing happening now that has any reason for it. Yeah. But it's good that you can see that. It takes a while for people to even come to the point where they can see that. They wrap it up so much with things now that any little thing that triggers, they'll want to project it onto that. And it's good that you come to the point where you can see that it really is not based on anything that's happening now. So that's a good starting point. You're ready. You're ready to begin to diffuse it. Good. Do we have any other questions? If not, then we'll go ahead and I'll work with you a little bit on the how to do the breathing, the breath. And the meditation, how to go into the meditation, we'll begin there. Some people have been here before, they know how to do the breathing, but I'll go ahead and go through it again for David. I know you haven't heard, and you haven't heard either. Yeah. And I think I talked with you last time when you came about how to do the breathing, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. And James, I think you know. Omja. So when we're doing the breathing, what we're doing, we want to just allow the body to relax and to take in normal breaths. And throughout the day, you can do this. You just look at your breathing, become aware of it. Forget looking at anything else that's out here. Just become aware of your breathing. And what happens when people get stressed, their breathing comes from shallow, from the upper chest. So what we want to do is consciously allow the body to totally relax until the stomach starts to move. That's when the body is in a relaxed state, because then the breath is coming from the diaphragm, from low inside. So we want to allow the breath to come naturally, in a relaxed manner. When the stomach starts to move, then I want you to change your focus on the air as it's coming from the nostrils. You'll feel it on your skin. Usually one side will be more open than the other side. So at that point, I want you to concentrate on the side that's more closed and physically allow yourself on that side to relax that side until the flow becomes even. When you can come to a point where the flow is even from both nostrils at the same time, this will help to take you into a stilled point, into a calmer mind. When it's even, then you enter more into a calm mind eventually. Okay? So this is where we want to come to. Once you get it into the even state, then I want you just to totally relax and allow the focus to go within your heart and the top of your head, if you can. If you can't manage both, then just feel this breath coming in through the heart and exiting through the heart. And relax, close the eyes and just surrender. Just let go. And allow that to continue to flow, okay? So first we're going to the breath to allow the body to relax, to let the breath come from the diaphragm. When we get the stomach moving rather than the upper chest, then once again we become aware of the breath coming from the nostrils. We concentrate on the side that is closed more. With attention and intention, we allow that to relax until both sides are coming evenly. Once both sides are coming evenly, then we put the attention and intention in the heart. We pull the breath into the heart and out through the heart. And then relax into that. And that will take you into meditation. So I will set the clock now. I'll do 3 ohms to take you into meditation. And 3 ohms to bring you out of meditation.
Ooh.